The Trump administration is continuing its attack on so-called fake news. Today, the president tweeted a number of times criticizing The Washington Post, The New York Times, and others for writing what he said were false stories. And yesterday, during a White House press briefing, Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders also went after the news media when she was asked about a recently retracted CNN story about former Trump transition official Anthony Scaramucci. She responded by criticizing CNN and the media in general for producing a, quote, constant barrage of fake news. That led to a contentious exchange with Brian Karam, the executive editor of the Montgomery County Sentinel, a suburban weekly. Here's the exchange, starting with Huckabee Sanders.
If we make the slightest mistake, the slightest word is off, it is just an absolute tirade from a lot of people in this room. But news outlets get to go on day after day and cite unnamed sources, use stories without sources, have, you mentioned the Scaramucci story where they had to have reporters resign.
Come on. You're inflaming everybody right here and right now with those words. This administration has done that as well. Why in the name of heavens? Any one of us, right, are replaceable. And any one of us, if we don't get it right, the audience has the opportunity to turn the channel or not read us.
I think you have
been elected to serve for 4 years at least. There's no option other than that. We're here to ask you questions.
Right.
You're here to provide the answers. And what you just did is inflammatory to people all over the country who look at it and say, see, once again, the president is right and everybody else out here is fake media. And everybody in this room is only trying to do their job.
I disagree completely. First of all, I think if anything has been inflamed, it's the dishonesty that often takes place by the news media. And I think it is outrageous for you to accuse me of inflaming a story when I was simply trying to respond to his question.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joins us now. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
And what did you make of that exchange? It seemed that this reporter was speaking for a lot of reporters who have just had enough of the Trump attacks on the press.
Here we are again. You have somebody speaking for the Trump administration who is conflating a lot of critiques of journalism and suggesting that somehow makes journalism illegitimate. You know, one of the things you heard her there essentially imply was, my goodness, we're up here and people are allowed to say things against us that are not sourced perhaps in the way that that you might want in every instance. But yeah, the First Amendment allows a lot of reporting and a lot of journalism. And if you are a public official, a public servant, that's going to be part of the job. You know, what she's essentially saying is that she resents that people are in there and asking questions that are inconvenient, presenting them with stories that are undesired, and that essentially she wants to control the tempo and the rhythm of that room because that is, after all, the White House press room, and the White House gets to dictate the terms. And yet it's not a private domain. It's a public one. So there is a tension there, and you've heard that thrown into very sharp relief by virtue of that exchange yesterday.
There have been a lot of questions about the White House daily press briefings recently, including some regular confusion about when the briefings will be scheduled and whether people will be able to turn cameras on or record what is being said. What's going on here?
There's an ongoing battle over the rules of engagement, over what the press corps is going to be allowed to have in terms of access on the record to Trump administration officials and spokespersons, and also what they're going to be able to convey to the public and how much of that's going to be able to be transmitted in real time. And you know, there are times where this feels a little bit like a fight between the NFL or Major League Baseball and sports writers who work for outlets that aren't the main broadcasters. Can you show clips during the game itself? Like, what access do you have? Well, this is the government. We're supposed to have a degree of access. Now, you can rightly say that it was the Clinton administration that turned on the cameras for, you know, press briefings on a routine basis to show live images. And that in some ways did transform the nature of that briefing. But it is rare to have a walk back of transparency once granted on a level for a significant period of time. That's what you're seeing here. I also think the administration finds it useful to be in these fights with the press. The press has emerged as one of their key antagonists, so it's useful to have the press as a foil. So they, you know, why bother yielding and giving in to the press on something when they think it's helpful to have the fight?
Well, there are some who believe that members of the news media should just keep the cameras rolling and ignore the administration's demands.
Look, if you do that, you know, the likely repercussion will be that they won't allow in people with cameras except on those events that they're going to intend to be televised, or that they'll take people's cell phones away or do something else. I don't have any problem with people trying to tape places they've been told not to tape in some sense, but I'm not sure that that's what gets you there. To be honest, the most important reporting on the administration and on the White House doesn't occur in that room. It occurs away from it. It occurs where people who are not reliant on formal access, but who are burrowing down and getting documents, getting sources, getting information, and getting that to the public. But there is something very important about public transparency and accountability occurring.
Let's get to that now retracted CNN story about Anthony Scaramucci, who's a former Trump transition official. CNN has since apologized. Three journalists resigned. What exactly did they get wrong, and how serious was this?
Such an interesting question. CNN has retracted the story and apologized for it exactly as you said. And yet people at CNN are not necessarily saying the story was wrong. They're saying the story was not vetted and did not hold up to their standards review practice. Scaramucci, questions of his interactions with figures with a Russian investment fund at a time that he was also serving as a liaison on the Trump transition team, was said by a single anonymous source to have come under the review of a Senate investigative panel on Russia and such matters. You know, I do think it's fair to say that almost any member of Trump world, whether the transition, the government, an informal advisor, who has ordered Russian dressing in the last year will probably come under some kind of review. I think people at CNN just felt this is not sustainable if we're intending to do aggressive reporting in the future that will stand up against the president's rhetorical attacks.
Well, on the one hand, this is why we are careful every single day on every single story to make sure that the facts are correct and that they're backed up and that we're being fair, because one mistake like this that somebody notices is going to be a major problem. On the other hand, journalists are going to make mistakes. How do they handle those mistakes when they make them? Is this the right thing to do? You fire a few journalists?
Yeah, technically they resigned, but it was clear that I think that executives felt their positions were not tenable anymore. Journalism is a human endeavor. It's a mortal endeavor. We make mistakes. And the real question is how you address those mistakes when they happen. I think CNN could have been more transparent itself in exactly what happened and what went awry. My reporting suggests that Eric Lischblau, who is a Pulitzer winner for the New York Times, who came aboard at CNN only recently, he had edited an earlier story for which he shared a byline in which it CNN wrongly reported that former FBI Director James Comey was going to contradict President Trump in saying that when Trump had said that he had been assured by Comey that he wasn't under investigation. In fact, Comey testified that he had given him assurances that he wasn't under investigation for counterintelligence concerns. And as Lischblau had edited that, I think that put a greater degree of scrutiny or a greater degree of attention on Lischblau's role. But, you know, three people left. I think that the mistake that they seem to have made would not under normal circumstances cost one's job. I think it would be a reprimand. I think it would be a retraction and a big black eye. This was something where CNN thought, you know, we can't do that at this time. We have to do, you know, CNN feels that it's not fighting the administration. It's trying to hold it accountable, but it's trying to do it, you know, through this new investigative team with aggressive reporting. If they get things wrong, it's going to expose them to these attacks, as you've seen in recent hours.
David, one more thing I want to ask you about. Yesterday, when Republicans decided not to have their vote on the Senate health care bill this week and wait until after the 4th of July recess, that was a big story. Everybody was covering it. We were covering it. FoxNews.com's main story, you couldn't even find that healthcare story on the page. It was that Obama is taking lavish vacations. What do you make of that?
It's a clear effort by Fox News to avoid the difficult story. Right now, Fox is in a tough place. It's playing defense. There was a polls out showing that support for the Senate bill appears to be in something like the single digits across the country. This is a very unpopular stance even among independents and many Republicans. And this is not a fun issue for them to be playing to play defense on. They're going to go casting about the landscape to find some familiar target to direct attention to.
That's NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thanks as always.
You bet.